You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. As usual, thanks for listening. It's my goal to bring you the best information about the Warriors possible. Statistics, community impacts, interesting stories, everything in between. So thanks for listening, and you can catch me right here Monday through Friday. You can also view my work on Forbes.com and BleacherReport.com, and feel free to get in touch with me at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com or on Twitter at Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E. Before we get into yesterday's game, I want to address a few mistakes I made in yesterday's show. First is Klay Thompson is definitely an Iron Man, but he played in only 77 games in 2014-2015, 80 games the next year, and 78 games the next year. So definitely plays a lot of games. He's held out for rest. I think he had an ankle injury at some point in the last 2 years, but he has missed more, I believe, than two games due to injury. Also want to send my thoughts and prayers out to Steve Clifford and his family. I said incorrectly that Steve Clifford would be coaching this game yesterday for the Charlotte Hornets, but he has an undisclosed health issue and is out indefinitely. In the meantime, Steven Silas, the lead assistant, is taking the reins in Charlotte. His father was there, Paul Silas, last night, and it's really just awesome to see legends in the building. Very cool. It's a family affair, so it's just exciting, you know, with Klay and Dell and Steph and Michael Thompson, just to see how the NBA family continues to grow and expand, literally. Now I have some notes from this game. First, I want to applaud Charlotte on the floor. Beehive is the honeycomb look is so cool. The rest of the floor is pretty all right. The color scheme is pretty cool, but the honeycomb is one of the most unique floors in the league, so kudos to them. They also are the only team in the league that gets to wear the Jumpman instead of the swoosh because their owner is Michael Jordan, and I just think that's cool. That's just kind of a really dope thing that Jordan was able to negotiate into the Nike deal, and it's just very cool. Everything about the Jumpman is exudes cool, so it just makes the team a cooler team. I also want to talk about the broadcast. If I could get Mike Breen, Hubie Brown, and Doris Burke to call my games every single time, oh man, I would be so happy. That ESPN combo is my dream combo. I really try to listen to the national broadcasts when they're on, even if they're also on NBC Sports Bay Area, because it's important to hear what the national conversation around the Warriors is to me. Just three excellent people at their respective positions. Mike Breen doing the play-by-play, Hubie Brown with the color, and then Doris Burke on the sideline. I also like Doris Burke as a color commentator. She's excellent. So kudos to ESPN for giving us that great, great combo instead of Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy. All right, I want to get on to my segments. First, I'm going to talk about this game. The second segment, I will be discussing Kevin Durant and what we can expect to see from him going forward with Stephen Curry out. And then in the third segment, I want to go around the NBA, talk about LeBron's win streak, talk about some of the other teams that are really streaking right now. I want to talk about Houston because I don't feel like I've spent enough time talking about Houston. They're still leading the league. The West, excuse me, are doing it with offense and defense, so they deserve some discussion. But first, I want to talk about the Charlotte game. Great game. I want to start by saying Of course, Steve Kerr would start Quinn Cook and try to keep his rotations. That was another mistake I made, assuming that he would start Sean Livingston. I was thinking about it as I said it, and I was like, that hasn't really been Kerr's MO at all this year. I just wasn't thinking of Quinn Cook as an option to start, but he played extremely well. He was poised and exciting to watch. And for y'all that don't know, Quinn Cook is our two-way player, one of our two-way players. He goes back and forth between the G League and the NBA, and this was a great chance for him to show what he can do. He's a shooter, 2 of 4 from 3, 3 of 7 from the field. He had some rebounds, 3 assists, no turnovers. One turnover, excuse me, and 8 points, filling in 22 minutes fairly well. He didn't do anything outlandish. He played within himself and within the offense. He got lost a few times defensively. I saw definitely the rotations are going to need work if he's going to continue to play. But, just another nice pickup for the Warriors. Jordan Bell also getting the start here, playing 20 minutes. And he had some athletic blocks, 3 blocks. The team as a whole had 12 blocks, which is a lot. It's a lot of blocks. he also had 4 assists, 5 rebounds, including 1 offensive, only taking 2 shots. So he's not really out there to shoot. He's out there to make other things happen for his team. And I thought the 4 assists was really what stood out to me. The reality of having a guy out there who's 6'9 and can assist the ball, and you can just plug him into the offensive lineup and he finds the right guy. I think that's really, really awesome. David West with 20 minutes, 6 points on 6 shots, and did a little bit of everything as well. He turned the ball over 3 times, which is uncharacteristic of him, but he had 2 blocks and a steal, 4 assists, and to go along with 3 rebounds, a good game for David West. And David West is a player I don't talk about enough, so you could see him potentially landing in my Warrior of the Week segment coming up next Tuesday. Andre, 30 minutes for Andre, and he's still getting up. He's still getting up. I mean, I'd say it every single pod, but every time I see Andre sky for a dunk at age almost 34, it makes me wonder what he's taken, what is his routine? And Clay talked about it in the national broadcast, teaching Clay how to take care of his body so that he can maintain himself for the future. And Andre's jumping way higher than Clay ever could or will. So just great, great poise and athleticism and choosing his spots to really sky. It's just so much fun. 2 offensive rebounds, 6 defensive, 3 steals, 2 blocks, and 8 points for a plus 11. And I want to get to Klay Thompson as well. He took 14 shots. Kevin Durant took 28. I would like that to be a little bit more equitable because Klay was 9 of 14, 4 of 7 from 3. And is still just shooting the lights out. Like, can we talk about this guy in the season he's having with the volume, only 15 shots a game? I want more shots for Klay, and I want more shots for Klay while Curry is out. He also had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 turnovers. But, I mean, the man is a shooting machine. He just creates space and it's never a jack. It's never a jack. It's always poised. It's always smooth. Klay is one of the smoothest players in the NBA. More shots for Klay. Few more notes from this game. Frank Kaminsky went down with what looked like an ankle injury. I hope that he is recovered soon. Durant, great first quarter, 16 points. Lots of offensive rebounds for Charlotte. Which is a problem. I think that we need to work on our defensive rebounding. We had nobody in this game except for Kevin Durant get more than 5 rebounds, which, great for KD, but the offensive rebounds are an issue The Warriors themselves had 8 offensive rebounds. And, oh my goodness, the Hornets had 14. 14 offensive rebounds. Unacceptable. It led to second chance points. There's got to be a better job with Draymond out of boxing out and making sure that they get those rebounds. I think 3 rebounds for David West in 20 minutes is unacceptable. Everybody, it needs to be a team effort. It needs to be a team effort. Caspi with 5 rebounds, good for him. Jordan Bell's got to get more than 5 rebounds in 20 minutes. Klay Thompson has to be a little bit more alert on the defensive end, rebounding the ball, because Stephen Curry is also an excellent rebounder at the guard position. So you're losing probably about 12 or 13 rebounds there with Steph and Draymond out. On the other hand, the refs were very Warrior-friendly, I thought. I think if we're going to talk about how the refs screw the Warriors, we have to talk about how the refs screw other teams. I think that there was a lot of contact that against guys like Dwight Howard and Kemba Walker that wasn't called, and it worked in the Warriors' favor. So definitely gotta stay honest when we're talking about refereeing. Zaza left and didn't return after re-injuring his shoulder. That's no bueno, but hopefully he has a speedy recovery. And I want to say that games definitely play faster now, and I'm feeling it. The rules that they changed in the offseason for timeouts, eliminating the 20-second timeout, eliminating how many timeouts you can take in the final 2 minutes of a game, have really made games feel more fluid. And I want to say that the front office is really doing an excellent job of addressing concerns from fans, players, coaches. Adam Silver is a revelation. Last note on this game, no Pat McCaw, making room for Quinn Cook. He's been playing extremely well, Pat, and hopefully he gets another chance in this final game against the Detroit Pistons on Friday, the final game of the road trip. Now, I want to get to Kevin Durant's amazingness, but first, if your company is looking to advertise to men ages 18 to 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that's your target demographic, get at me. You can email me at alicocarter11@gmail.com. Our rates are reasonable, and you will like what you hear. All right. So KD had his second triple-double in a Warriors uniform, first of the season. He had his number 35 in 36 minutes with 11 rebounds and 10 assists. 3 turnovers, which is better than 7, which he had in the last game, and 2 blocks and only 2 fouls. He was not super efficient, 13 of 28, 3 of 10 from 3, but a few of those were late in the game when the Warriors already had the game in hand, and he had one possession where he clunked one, got the Warriors got the rebound back, and he clunked another one, but he was open, so, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And then 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Kevin Durant was everywhere, offensively, defensively, and just really set the tone in the first quarter with 16 points and didn't step off of the gas from there. 28 shots is a lot of shots. It's not a lot of shots for Kevin Durant. I'm fine with Kevin Durant taking 28 shots, but if there's going to be no Curry and no Draymond, then I want Klay to take more than 14 shots if Durant is going to take 28. He doubled up Klay shooting, and there's nothing wrong with that, but Klay's been efficient, and I just don't understand why we're not running more plays for him, curling around screens and diving to the basket. But Kevin Durant can create his own shot. He can create any shot he wants, and he did. He took players to task in the post. He took players to task from the three-point line, and with his handles getting to some up-down motion, some downhill motion, excuse me, and was really just making everything happen for the Warriors from every angle. The assists, the 10 assists, is something that Kevin Durant is capable of doing on a nightly basis. He averages 5 assists a game, which is nearly a career high. fairly low-scoring game for the Warriors without the engines, the 13 and 14 assists that would have come from Draymond Green and Stephen Curry. So 101 to 87 was your final score. Durant with an offensive rating of 107 to go with a defensive rating of 90 for a net rating of 17. Not bad, though. Klay Thompson had an offensive rating of 113 and a defensive rating of 85 for a net rating of 29, which is very good. During the national broadcast and during halftime, Paul Pierce was a little bit angry and at the end of the game at the Charlotte Hornets for allowing Kevin Durant to have his way. But sometimes you just have a transcendent player do transcendent player things, and there's nothing that I think could have stopped Kevin Durant from getting his number in this one. Now, before I get to LeBron and James Harden and everybody else around the NBA, I want to talk to you guys about EnclosedLingerie.com. If you're looking for something different for your wife or girlfriend, look no further than EnclosedLingerie.com. Definitely don't get her another sweater. Surprise her this Christmas with high-end lingerie. These are not your usual department store undies, but seriously high-end designer lingerie sourced from around the world. Enclosed also has amazing teddies, robes, and other lingerie options. This is an effortless gift for you to give because Enclosed takes care of all of the details for you. Enclosed customizes your gift for your wife or girlfriend based on the gift giver's preferences. Size guarantee means you can't mess up. Enclosed gets the fit right 98% of the time. It's the gift that keeps on giving because Enclosed sends out a new gift every month. You just sit back and she enjoys the surprises month after month. Tens of thousands of men and women love Enclosed. Use code WARRIORS for $20 off your first order at EnclosedLingerie.com. All right. The Cavs beat the Kings last night at home for their 13th straight win. LeBron was once again amazing. 41 minutes, 32 points, and 11 rebounds, 9 assists. He had 7 turnovers, which is a lot, but 3 steals and 2 blocks, which is also a lot of stocks. And he was 5 of 8 from 3. They were talking on the broadcast about LeBron's improvement, and, you know, is it possible for him to have improved in his 15th season? And yes, it very much is very possible for him to have improved, particularly shooting the ball. But his whole game is just so put together. He's actually shooting 43% from three this year, which would be by far a career high, making 2.1 out of 4.8. And he's shooting 64% from inside the three-point line, which also is a career high, by far. So LeBron James is putting himself squarely in the MVP conversation with his efficiency. He's only shooting 76% from the line, but that would be nearly a career high as well. So he's averaging also 8 rebounds and 8.6 assists. It's just amazing what he's doing to go along with 28 points and nearly 3 stocks a game. Their defense is up to 22nd in the league with a defensive rating of 109.9, and their offensive rating of 113.4 is 4th in the league. And their net rating is not so bad, given those numbers, and they're gonna, I think, keep getting better. And as I predicted a few pods ago, they're winning the games they're supposed to win heading into this Christmas matchup against the Warriors. I also want to talk about the Houston Rockets. They're in Utah tonight on TNT. Should be a very good game with Rudy Gobert back in the lineup for Utah, going up against Clint Capella, who's having a career season himself. Their offensive rating is 114.6. second behind the Warriors, and their defensive rating is 5th at 103.2. So they're doing it on the offensive end and the defensive end, and credit James Harden for being a big part of both of those. He's not really known for his defense, but obviously they wouldn't be 5th in defensive efficiency if it weren't for their leader. Harden, for his credit, is averaging 31.7 points per game, leading the NBA, and 9.7 assists per game, also leading the NBA. He's got 1.7 steals, which would be near a high watermark for him. His turnovers are high, 4.6, but that's what happens when you have a high usage player, and it's still above a 2.0 assist to turnover ratio. He's attempting 11 for threes a game, making 4.5 for a 405 percentage, which, to his credit, is better than Stephen Curry this year so far. So that is... Just he's having a career year, and if he doesn't win the MVP this year, it'll only be because LeBron was a little bit better. But I think at this point in the season, you know, it's not over, but you have to really consider him the front runner for the MVP award. He's taking 21 shots a game, but also assisting the ball a ton. So he is his team's entire defense. Chris Paul is making things happen, though, shooting 43% from three, and assisting the ball 9.8 times a game. And so once his games played gets high enough where he can be considered, he will actually be leading the league in assists. He's also averaging 1.9 steals, which is a very Chris Paul thing to do, and only 1.8 turnovers, so he's on track to lead the league in assist-to-turnover ratio. This team is very good. Eric Gordon is averaging 15 points a game, taking 10 three-pointers a game, only making 31% of them, which is uncharacteristic for him, but he's going to get that number up. The same with Ryan Anderson. He's taking 7 three-pointers a game, making 40%. And so the Rockets have a game plan, and they're sticking to it. Shoot a lot of threes, run a lot, play good defense. You can add Trevor Ariza to that list as well, shooting 6.8 three-pointers a game for 38% mark. And, you know, this whole team is, you know, you got to give credit to Daryl Morey for putting together a team that can really execute Mike D'Antoni's game plan. But this is a very good team, and I'm looking forward to the Warriors getting the opportunity for revenge for that opening night loss. Last note on around the NBA, some breaking news. The 76ers have traded Jahlil Okafor. Save Jahlil has finally come to fruition. They traded Okafor and Nick Stauskas along with a second-round pick to the Nets for Trevor Booker. That should make both teams better. That's my pod for the day. Stay tuned tomorrow, Friday, where I'll be recapping the Detroit game and talking about some of the favorite things that I saw this week. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads. Thank you.